All right, everybody. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Grimm Scenarios. I'm your host, Emma. With me here is Milk. I don't have anything to say about What's Milk up? Besides that.
You don't want to say that I'm your best friend?
No, I have no interest in saying that. I'm on a vow of honesty right now.
I thought that was only on Sundays.
In any case, so we thought we'd switch things up and do something a little different this week. Over on our Grim Scenarios Discord, discord.gg/grimscenarios, if you aren't on it for some reason and want to join, we're currently running a script competition. The script competition is focused around the Stormcatcher and Outsider, so the tag you use to submit for it is called Stormy Outs, which is kind of cute. So basically, we're looking for scripts that storm catch an outsider. And we're judging this contest, so we're obviously not entering it. But we thought it would be sort of interesting if we sort of wrote our own Stormcaught Outsider scripts. And then sort of talked through our non-entries to go through sort of what we think about with the Stormcatcher and with outsiders and how you want these things to interact.
Yeah, and the Stormcatcher especially is an interesting fabled anyway, because it really does alter how a game is played. It gives the evil team some additional information, but it also gives them an additional hurdle to jump over.
Yeah. So, like, the obvious thing about the Stormcatcher is it essentially gives whatever character is Stormcaught a, like, bonus soldier ability, but, like, an even more powerful soldier ability, because not only is this Stormcaught character safe from demon attacks, they're safe from Godfather attacks, Moonchild picks, Gossip kills, all the Harpies and Serenovi, witches, all these things that being poison killed, all these ways that the evil team has to deal with a soldier, they don't have with the Stormcatcher. They only have the social pressure of trying to get the Stormcatcher killed.
Yeah, I'll just read the token real quick, which is, name a good character. If in play, they can only die by execution, but evil players learn which player it is. So that's an instruction to the storyteller. The storyteller names a good character. If in play, that character can only die by execution, but evil players learn which player it is. And generally, in the community, the parlance is to say that if you want a specific role storm caught on a script, you say that the Stormcatcher favors that role. So in the case of this script that we're going to look at first, the Stormcatcher favors the Moonchild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and then particularly, so, like, what you're doing is you're taking any character and you're making it more powerful, more townsfolk-y, but at the cost of much easier for evil to bluff it and for evil to know, okay, I can't kill that person. So it's not like a soldier that can trick the evil into wasting a kill on it.
Right.
Evil knows whether or not there's this player they can't kill.
And it also, just as a corollary to that, means that evil knows when that role is not in play.
Yeah, so it becomes, the idea is to make this role the focal point of the script in such a way that it's always effectively in play. It's either someone on the evil team is bluffing it, or it's in play. These are the only two options. Games are going to be about partially solving whether this character is good or evil.
And that can be a lot of fun. Like, that can genuinely make a game really fun. When you pull that token, it makes you feel like you're a little bit like the main character in the story. But if you're bluffing it as an evil, it also, like, gives you this kind of extra impetus, like, this extra power to your voice. And mm-hmm. it's just a really interesting mechanic to engage with. I think it's one of the more fun kind of fables that you can really build something interesting around.
Yeah. Now, the issue that comes, of course, is that when you're storm catching an outsider and giving this outsider effective immortality, you've sort of quasi-turned this outsider into a townsfolk. So when script writing around a Stormcaught outsider, one thing that's important to do is to make sure you're writing a script in a way that still allows the outsider to perform its outsider functions. So there's some outsiders who I'm just going to say, these characters don't work as Stormcott. For example, the Acrobat. The Acrobat's ability to accelerate the game by having a poisoned neighbor is completely mitigated by being Stormcott. The Acrobat can no longer accelerate the game by being next to a poisoned good player, because that can't kill the Acrobat. The Stormcatcher is overriding their protection. Same with Tinker. Like, these are characters where, okay, like, what's going on here? This isn't doing anything for... They no longer have an outsider function. They just have a townsfolk function that the Stormcatcher sort of provides.
And in the same vein, you may not want to Stormcatch a damsel on account of the evil team does learn that that character is in play. And yeah, it does make it a little easier for the minions to guess the damsel.
Yeah, if you're gonna Stormcatch a damsel, there's a character that needs to be on your script, and that character is the Heretic.
Yep.
Because you need, and you can't have anything that will let the evil team know whether a Heretic is in play or not, because the game for the evil team has to be figure out whether they should make the damsel guess or not.
It's pretty much the only way that's gonna work.
Pretty much the only way, that's, yeah. So, Milk and I both did not entries. These are obviously not entries because we're judges. We're not putting our own scripts in our own competition. That
we are not
nonsense.
Entering the competition in any way, shape, or form. We want to make that very clear.
So, but we did decide we were going to write our own Stormcott Outsider scripts and sort of talk through our decisions, set up a few grims with them, just to, mm-hmm. you know, show the things you can do. So, these, and because we're, you know, very well thought out, careful people who do a lot of planning for how these episodes should go, I can tell you that we were going to do something completely else when we agreed to record this episode about 12 hours ago. And then about 2.5 hours ago, I DM'd Milk and was like, I know we were going to do this, but why don't we write scripts instead? So,
so we did that.
So, like, this, I'm just going to throw out there, this is not the most well-thought-out, carefully planned script writing ever. Like, these have gone through no playtests, unless... I know at least mine hasn't. If Milk somehow found time to playtest his in the past 2.5 hours, all power to him.
No, I did not.
But we haven't run them by other people, as far as I know. Like, so these may not be the best scripts in the world, but that's part of the art of script writing. Part of the art of script writing is putting your ideas together and then talking them through with other people and seeing if they work or not.
We didn't even run them by each other, really.
No.
So, these are literally,
so we'll start with my entry, which is called All Its Ruddy Splendor, by me. That's Emma. That's, so it goes there, too. And it's, as Milk spoiled for you, the Stormcott outsider here is the Moonchild. Now, why did I pick the Moonchild? One is it's because an outsider I rarely use. The Moonchild is already sort of on the edge of a townsfolk for an outsider, which doesn't interest me that much. But that also made me think that the negatives of Stormcatching an outsider would be more mitigated with the Moonchild, because it already has that, is this really an outsider, is this a townsfolk feeling towards it. So I cared less that one of my outsider slots was being taken by a character of, let's say, more toed the line between townsfolk and outsider.
So, just as an example, this is one way you could mitigate the townsfolkiness of adding the Stormcatcher, is to just use something that's a little bit less... the outsidery effect is less potent.
Yeah. So, I then wanted to sort of think of ways that, should the Moonchild be executed, bad stuff can happen for the good team. So, I added in some roles that are going to be particularly annoyed to be picked by a Moonchild, such as the Soldier and the Banshee, because those characters are going to be a little annoyed that their whole point of being a Demon Bane is mitigated by a Moonchild stabbing it in the face. That sort of increases the outsiderness of the Moonchild, and that there's these characters whose really their whole purpose is nullified by a Moonchild picking them. It sort of just ruins their protection from the demon, or in the Banshee's case, their bonus if they can trick the demon into killing them. We also have some ways where the Moonchild pick might not go through. We have an innkeeper. We have really just the innkeeper, but that's the big one here. We have ways that the Moonchild pick can be ambiguous whether it went through or not. If the Yagababble thinks that the Moonchild's going to get executed and kill someone, the Yagababble could just not say their phrase to make it ambiguous of whether this is, you know, an actual Moonchild kill or an evil bluffing it. Same with the Oho. They can choose not to kill. We can enable... There's some combos here that enable evil to bluff that a Moonchild kill has happened. If the spy gets executed and is bluffing Moonchild, they can register as the Moonchild to the Godfather to allow the Godfather to kill their Moonchild pick and make the spy look like they were the confirmed Moonchild. The Harpy can kill to fill in the Moonchild spot. The Oho can kill to fill in the Moonchild spot. If the evil's bluffing Moonchild, the Oho can say in a dead character's role, okay, or an out-of-play role, they can say Imp, and the storyteller can use that to sell the Moonchild bluff. The Yagababble can also simulate this. So basically I wanted ways that evil could bluff that they were actually a Moonchild, bluff the actual mechanical effect of the Moonchild, while also having ways that the Moonchild could be a real outsider. The Moonchild can also kill the spy, which you're like, kill the spy? That sounds pretty townsfolky, but like, if the spy's bluffing grandmother, confirming a demon, and then the Moonchild kills them, that's going to be pretty strong for the good team. For the evil team, rather.
Yeah, and I think...
That was just sort of my general script writing philosophy, which is where I figured I'd start with this for that, and then I tried to get some feedback from Milk.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, there's a couple of different pieces to this, right? So there's two halves of Stormcatcher when you're thinking about Stormcatching a character. The first is making it this sort of focal point, this central thing, and the other part is allowing evil to bluff that they have that role if they know it's out of play. And so fundamentally, right, those two things are different. And you need both parts. If your Stormcaught character can prove their existence and that can't be bluffed in any way, you probably have a problem, right? You have that. Yeah. That's going to be a problem. That character's going to be around until Final 3, and that's an issue.
I wouldn't Stormcatch the Virgin.
Yeah, I wouldn't Stormcatch the Virgin. I would agree. Don't do that. That's not a good idea. But stuff like that where you really have to think of both halves of this. So I agree. Like the Moonchild can disrupt town by being executed. And in a way, I think on this script, especially with what you've done here, I don't think town is as incentivized to execute a Moonchild to find an evil, right? In BMR, sometimes town will be like, oh, a Moonchild, let's kill the Moonchild, have them pick this person, and then we'll know if that person is good or evil or not, depending on if they die, right? They're not claiming like fool or sailor or something. So here, right, that you execute the Moonchild, well, the Godfather might get a kill. So the Godfather might just kill the Moonchild like the Moonchild's pick, right? You execute the Moonchild, well, there's a harpy, so again, like Emma said, you could get a double kill there. You could register the spy and get an extra kill. Like the spy could get killed and be confirmatory, right? Yagababble can get a kill, right? So there's a lot of ways to allow that confirmation to be disrupted, and I think that's crucial in not only the Moonchild, right, as a character, in making the Moonchild more outsidery, but also in thinking about, okay, well, what if the Moonchild picks someone and they don't die, right? Yeah. What does that mean? Does that mean they were pucka poisoned? Does that mean they were hit by the poisoner? Does that mean that player is evil, right? Does that mean that player was innkeeper protected, right? Those possibilities then become interesting as well.
Yeah, so like, and I tried to have some ways to play with that aspect too, and I forgot to talk about that originally. Like, let's say, you know, the Moonchild is executed and picks the Shigenja, who's pointing towards the demon. Poisoner can poison the Moonchild to prevent the kill going through and make the Shigenja look evil. The Pukka Because especially if there's a Godfather, if the Pukka knows that their kill's going to be covered by the Godfather, they can poison the Moonchild and make the Shigenja look evil. Like, there's ways around this for evil in a way that helps them sort of dodge the confirmatory powers of the Moonchild.
There's also somewhat less... I would say there's somewhat less sort of direct confirmation of roles in this script. You have village idiots, but village idiots are always probably you're not going to show the Moonchild to the grandmother again.
I think that would be unlikely. It's not entirely possible because it's like something evil could bluff.
Evil
could choose to bluff grandmother confirming another evil player as the Moonchild.
I guess the most confirmatory thing is gambler gambling the Moonchild, but again, that's something evil can just bluff, and so it's fine. It's something that could be poisoned as well. So again, I think that's really kind of all fine. And there's not that much confirmatory. There's not that many confirmatory roles here that can just look at that Moonchild and go, hey, what are you? You know, and just know that they're good, evil, that they are the Moonchild, whatever.
Yeah, like, with village idiots, I will frequently give a drunk village idiot good on a player who I think is being read good, but I can tell you that the village, if there's a drunk village idiot and a sober village idiot, which is normally, I normally do two village idiots. I will sometimes do three or one, but normally I go with two.
Yep.
The drunk village idiot will be getting evil, and the Moonchild and the good sober village idiot will be getting good.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
There will be no, like, moose messing around with that outsider, with the Moonchild's alignment. We won't let the village idiots confirm them, generally.
Again, it's very important as a storyteller, not as a scriptwriter as much. I mean, you do need to be aware of it, but as a storyteller, you need to be aware of the Stormcock character and making sure that they are not confirmed, because the only real way that evil has to get rid of them before the end of the game is get them killed.
Is socials. Yeah.
Is socially get them killed.
Especially with a Moonchild whose outsider effect requires them to die, you need to prevent that Moonchild from being in a spot where town as a whole can say, that Moonchild is definitely good.
Yeah. That is too strong for the town. That would be a very strong Stormcaught character's ability.
And Milk, so do you have any major criticisms of my script? Any things you'd like to see me change?
I'm not sure. So I do think gambler can be bluffed, but I do think a gambler is somewhat incentivized. Like, if there really is a gambler in the game, they are somewhat incentivized to gamble Moonchild. So I'd be concerned about that. And gambler and cannibal gambler can be a little bit tricky. Like, obviously, if the gambler gets, you know, the gambler has to get executed to get eaten by the cannibal, but
So maybe gambler is something that needs to go off this script. Maybe I can figure out some other way. I was trying to give some more reasons for double deaths, but maybe the gambler is not the right call for that.
I think gambler better than gossip here, certainly. I think gambler's the right choice against gossip.
I didn't want gossip and Yagababble.
Yeah.
Together. I didn't want the gossip to be able to... I wanted the extra kills to come from the Godfather, Yagababble, and Oho, not from a gossip.
Yeah,
I
think that's
right. I wanted those to be traceable, but maybe gambler is sort of the wrong call here.
Mm-hmm. I feel like... I'm wondering...
Maybe I just don't need that as a source of extra death.
You might just not. Yeah, that might be all right. It's interesting. Anyway, so that would be one... And we've talked about, like, storytelling and gambler in the past, you know, we've acknowledged that it is a very powerful confirmatory character. I'm curious about your choice of amnesiac and if you had some specific space that you thought amnesiac could fill, or if it's sort of just kind of an interesting kind of fun thing to interact with a Stormcock character, what you thought about amnesiac kind of being for here. It does fill a space. I'm just curious if you had some specific things that you had in mind.
Yeah, so part of the goal for the amnesiac is I wanted something that would give valuable information to the good team in a way that wouldn't allow it to detect the Moonchild's alignment or demonness. So I didn't want to use things like fortune teller or empath. I didn't want to use things like dreamer because that's a little, almost a little too uninteresting with the Moonchild. Like, they just dream them as Moonchild or some, or a demon. Right. Most of the time, I didn't want to use Flower Girl, because then I need to put in a Vortox, and this isn't really a Vortox script.
Agreed.
I didn't really want Town Crier, because, you know, I want the Moonchild to be a demon candidate, mm-hmm. as well as a minion candidate. So, like, the real choices were Amnesiac, or really, Amnesiac, Chambermaid, and Savant were the choices I had for this information, for this slot I wanted to fill with an information role. I played around with Chambermaid on this script when I was drafting it, and I ultimately decided, it was a weird reason, actually. Most of the time with Chambermaid, I spend a lot of time saying, all right, do my demon's wake patterns balance with the outsider and townsfolk ones? Yes, great. And I actually thought Chambermaid was fine here for demon wake patterns, but mm-hmm. I was looking at the minion wake patterns, and I was like, the minions are all sort of active, which is, like, frustrating, especially since they're gonna need to be bluffing outsiders, and the outsiders are passive, and there's not a lot of active outsiders. It's really Lunatic and Butler, Goon to a degree. And I was like, I don't think Chambermaid being able to sort of tell a minion from an outsider is really what we're going for here.
Yeah.
So it was really down to Savant or Amnesiac for this slot to fill in this extra information. And there's a number of characters here I just don't like with Savant. I don't like Spy or Reckless with Savant particularly. Yep. I am not a huge fan of Poisoner with Savant.
Agreed.
So Amnesiac was just sort of something that could fill that information void.
Mm-hmm.
In creative ways and different ways for every game. In the sense that I didn't like the information, other information options I was looking at.
That question, of course, is a loaded question because you know my opinion of Amnesiac and that it should have a, like, important purpose when you choose to put it on a script. It's not just the 13th townsfolk that you chuck on because you didn't have anything. So I wanted to kind of get your thinking about it just for clarity. So the way
I think about Amnesiac is you're looking, when you're writing a script, you're looking for specific role types generally. Like, things that start knowing to sort of provoke that day one conversation. Some recurring info roles that of various types that drive the mid-game conversation. Some demon banes, protection roles, evil disruptors. And I think Amnesiac should go on a script when you're looking at a category type for one of those things and you want something in that slot and you don't like the options that aren't Amnesiac. So it's more, I think the you don't want it to just be the 13th townsfolk thing is a little overstated, because that sometimes is why it ends up on the script, is you need your 13th townsfolk and it needs to be in this type of slot, but the ones that exist for that type of slot don't really work. You need something a little more flexible, a little more functional with the various mm-hmm. things your script is doing. Like, I wanted the Spy and the Recluse here because those play well with for Moonchild to be an outsider, because they're good players the Moonchild may not kill or evil players the Moonchild may kill, depending on what's best for evil at the time. But they're really not fun with Savant, because even though I personally won't be misregistering Spies or Recluses so I can give two trues or two false Savant statements, that by using the Spy and the Recluse to make one of them technically true or technically false, as the case may be, I don't think it's a fun combo. I think it creates too much of a problem for a Savant to work through. I'm just leaving them off.
Yeah, like, and I
have my Village Idiots as one of my information roles, my High Priestess is my other recurring one, and I guess Gambler, which is probably coming off as a third, and Amnesiac I think really needs to be fourth. I do need to figure out what I'm going to replace Gambler with, because I think I agree it's probably a little too confirmatory here.
Yeah, and all I was just going to kind of add in on that is Amnesiac can do anything, but you should, as Emma said, have a reason for it to do, or have something for it to do, have some function for it on the script. I think with regard to Recluse and Spy with Savant, you wouldn't do it as an ST, but when you take a script and you send your script out into the wild, you let it leave the nest, you don't know who's going to storytell it. And while you can't future-proof it for every possible thing that another storyteller might do, you want to try to make it as stable as possible before you send it out to someone else.
Anyway, since we're sort of doing this, let's, figure out what we're replacing Gambler with.
Oh, sure. Shall we talk through options for replacing Gambler on this? That sounds fun.
Yeah. So we need a new townsfolk to replace Gambler, because Gambler, I think you're right, it's too confirmatory. So we're not doing Alchemist. Alchemist doesn't work with these.
Let's
Spire Poisoner.
Talk about the qualities we want in a character that we're going to pick for this.
We want it to be something that provides information. We don't want it to be a source of extra evil, because the ogre is the source of extra evil.
We want it to be something that's active, because we already have some passive information rolls here.
Yeah, we don't want it to be a win condition, because good doesn't have any win conditions, so that's a little... evil doesn't, so you don't really want good to have any.
Yep. We also might want it to be a killer. We may or may not, but that's something we should consider.
The options don't exist. Yeah. I think what it almost has to be is going to end up being the seamstress. The seamstress, I think fits nicely here. The seamstress, there's lots of reasons for that seamstress to be wrong between spies, recluses, and poisoners. The seamstress is less incentivized to use the moonchild as a control, unless they've maybe found the grandchild.
One shot.
Yeah, it's one shot, which I think is... If they do end up using the Moonchild as a control against the grandmother, that's almost fine. So we're just going to make this change, reload the script.
We just did it live!
And there you go. Now we have a seamstress instead of a gambler.
Yeah, and I do think, I think that actually helps balance out the script a little bit in another way, which is that I do think it also adds another once per game... And it sort of balances out that list of ongoing effect characters, like every night type effect characters.
And then I think the last thing you're doing as you approach like the ready-to-play test stage of a script is you should always look at a few grim states and make sure like you can feel comfortable making them at a couple different numbers of players. So we're just going to do some of that. We're going to just read some characters.
Let's go out to the grim real quick.
All right. And I'm just going to do this semi, like, randomly, not super caring about what I pick, and just seeing what happens.
Sounds good to me.
So this is a 12-player Grim.
All right. What an interesting Grim state. This is to talk through.
So... I think this is actually, you know, sort of fine.
Yeah, absolutely fine.
I would probably drunk seat 11 here in case the ogre is the type of player who likes to pick one of their neighbors. That means that even if the ogre is going to end up staying good, they're going to be tied to a player who gets bad information. There's a huge chance a poisoner here will poison this Shigenja. But even if they don't, we can point them away from the demon and towards the recluse. because the godfather and the Yagababel are equidistant from the Shigenja, that's fine. The grandmother has plenty of things I'm happy to show. I'm not going to show the Moonchild, but I'm basically happy to show the rest of these characters to the grandmother.
I'm happy to show
the Shigenja, because the Shigenja is going to be pointing away from the demon one way or the other.
Yeah, I would happily show the Shigenja. And remember, Shigenjas start knowing, so... Yeah, they might kill one evil, but, you know, the recluse is going to come out. And if the recluse comes out, that makes it look like maybe the evils are on the other side of the Grim. Like, there's a lot. I think there's a lot there.
I think we have some pretty reasonable bluffs for the setup. Like, I'm happy to give High Priestess, Preacher, Innkeeper, Amnesiac, Fisherman, Soldier, I think are all good. I'm probably not going to give Cannibal because there's no Spy. I'm probably not going to give Banshee. Though it's not the end of the world to give Banshee here, really. Hatter's... they'll know about too, and that's a fine bluff because they want to disrupt this outsider count. I'm pretty content that I think Courtier is one of the big question marks in the script. I think it's probably fine, because Ohos can get rid of it. There's Poisoners and Godfathers who can kill around it. Yagababbles can really cause it to be bluffed effectively by holding their phrase for a couple days, then going in for the slaughter.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fine. I don't think Courtier is a problem here. There's lots of options. Nothing super confirmable. Harpy, maybe, but I don't know that a Courtier wants a Harpy anyway, so...
Yeah. I'm pretty happy with this. So let's clear this grimoire. We'll try one on a 1 minion player count.
Yeah, let's go down to 9. I'll let you do that since I have the recording. Let's see what it looks like with just 1 minion. And you should try to look at all of the possible player counts with your script. Or, you know, at least each minion count, some different outsider
counts. You don't have to, like, run through 5 simulations on...
Yeah.
On every number, but you should look through a bunch.
And probably you don't necessarily need to look at 0 outsider setups when you have, when you're storm catching an outsider for your script. So, you could, but you don't necessarily need to. All right, Emma, what do we got? A different Grim.
So, here there's no Moonchild in play. Evil's going to have a tough time bluffing the kill, but the Oho can bluff the kill. What am I talking about?
The Oho can bluff the kill.
Yeah, if the spy takes Moonchild and gets executed, the Oho can pick an out-of-play role, which they'll be really good at because they have a spy, to make sure they get the kill off. Grandmother can see the spy... Probably won't, because I do want to leave that open. The grandmother is probably going to see... We have nice Shigenja distance here. It's basically arbitrary information, because there's a spot here anyway.
We're short an outsider. Lol.
Oh, oops. Let me redo this. I forgot I was doing this on 9 instead of 8. So we'll just drop the Banshee, toss in a Recluse, and we'll repass the same idea out. But like I said, once again, I'm pretty content with this.
This looks fine.
Recluse is doing a similar function. The grandmother has lots of nice options to see. Probably would send the grandmother to the Amnesiac. That's always nice. Maybe would send to the Cannibal, because it's not for fun when an Amnesiac gets killed super early.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this looks pretty good.
This is pretty reasonable for a 9-player setup.
Yeah.
And let's look at 1 15-player setup, too.
Yeah, we should do a big one.
We'll do 1 3-minion. Yeah. We won't do 15, we'll do 14.
14,
so we can also look at a different base outsider count.
And larger games especially, you want to look at your minion balance... to make sure that the minions aren't going to kind of step on town too much.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'll cut the dead air.
All right. Oh, no, this is wrong. Oops.
I'll just cut this part too.
Too many demons.
Too many demons.
There we go.
All right.
Forgot to deselect the Oho when I was putting in the imp.
All right, so this one looks pretty interesting.
Yeah. So we have a Godfather add an extra outsider, which might be mean that the Godfather doesn't particularly want to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not, because if the Hatter dies, they may choose not to be a Godfather anymore. We have spies and harpies. I think we have interesting things for this grandmother to see. Yeah, I'm pretty content with these setups. These all look like playable games to me.
Yep, me too. And I think it's interesting having the Moonchild Stormcaught in these games as well. I think there's a lot of interesting stuff that can happen. So I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty happy with your take on this, Emma.
Yeah. All right.
Let's swap out the Grim, and we'll do one. Okay, welcome back, everybody. So I took a different, a little bit of a different direction than Emma did with my Stormcut Outsider script. This is Lantern by Milk, which is me. And I have the Stormcatcher favoring the Recluse. And because I used a base TB Outsider for this, I made my script a little bit of a TB-like. I made it TB-ish. I used a lot of things that work on Trouble Brewing that should still function in this kind of space as well. So the Recluse as an Outsider, as Emma used it in her script, is disruptive because it has the ability to misregister. And what makes the Recluse an interesting piece of a puzzle is figuring out whether that person can be trusted socially while potentially being registered as evil. The evil team, on the other hand, isn't going to be able to kill off the Recluse because the Recluse is Stormcaught, and so they might have to deal with some awkward outsider count type of confirmation here, because we do have a Baron, but we do end up in the same TB puzzle, right? Of having the drunk be a soft outsider minus one. So we have all of the usual outsidery stuff from Trouble Brewing. Recluse interacts with so many things, and it makes me very happy. The Recluse can interact with most of the things on the script. It can be seen by the librarian, although, again, if you have Stormcaught a character, maybe don't show them to the librarian. Sometimes evil could bluff it, but maybe don't. It can misregister to the investigator, which is something that it just does natively on TB. It can cause the chef's number to be incorrect. It can, as usual on TB, misregister to a fortune teller. It can misregister to the village idiots. It can misregister to an empath. It doesn't interact with Monk. It can be shot with Slayer, but it will not die because it is Stormcaught. It cannot be killed by the Slayer because it's Stormcaught. We have Night Watchman for virgin-y things. So I thought I just didn't want to put a virgin on here. We have a Banshee. Banshee covers the sort of Mayery space in TB, but Banshee is also kind of just an interesting Demon Bane type character. We've got Cannibal for cannibal-y things, and we've got Soldier. One thing I have realized since I showed this is that I probably can't have Cannibal on this script due to the presence of Slayer and Golem. So that might be a small issue there. But we can sort that out in a minute.
Yeah, my initial thought would be Cannibal's the biggest red flag, with some of these as being incredibly strong confirmations.
Yeah.
And also, evil is going to have a lot of trouble bluffing it.
Yeah. So Cannibal probably needs to go, because I took Spy. I replaced Spy on this. I didn't want the misregistration from Spy for various different reasons. We've got the standard suite of TB minions with Poisoner, Scarlet Woman, and Baron, but I thought it would be interesting to add a Summoner, and since I added a Summoner, I wanted a fifth minion just for general purposes, really. So I thought I'd add a Marionette, because I thought Marionette was kind of an interesting thing to add. And then we've got our Imp, of course, from TB. Oho plays nicely with all of these things, and why not throw on a Legion just for some more silly disruption? Mm-hmm. I like the things that Recluse does in a game. I tend to find myself putting Recluse on scripts a lot because it's such an interesting disruptive factor, but is often just socially trusted because it just comes out and goes, "Oh yeah, I'm the Recluse," you know, like, and then people just kind of, "Oh, just the Recluse, okay." I left off Oracle specifically because I didn't necessarily want that specific piece of disruption, and I didn't want to necessarily encourage Town to kill off the Recluse. That's also why Undertaker's not here, so.
Yeah. So, I guess some initial questions I have, besides Cannibal, is do we have too much confirmation here? We have a Night Watchman, a Pixie, a Librarian, a Golem, and a Slayer, and the Slayer can't kill the Recluse, but... Mm-hmm.
But it can kill a Legion.
It can kill a Legion, right? So I'm wondering, do we have too many things that are just confirmed here?
It's possible. I gave Pixie as a replacement for Washerwoman. Without Spy, I can't have Washerwoman on here as a sort of TB-shaped thing. So I used Pixie instead. I think Pixie's interesting because it's still disruptible with things like Poisoner. It still could be the drunk, so it still can be disrupted in some different ways. Let's see. In terms of Slayer, maybe Slayer and Golem both on the script. Maybe one or the other needs to go.
Yeah, I think maybe only one out of the three of Slayer, Night Watchman, Golem.
Yeah, that's possible. I thought Slayer and Night Watchman were okay together because Night Watchman is a little bit Virgin-like, but I just didn't want Virgin. So it kind of takes that space, and so it can still leave Slayer. We do have Scarlet Woman. Slayer shooting the demon who gets passed to a Scarlet Woman can make it look like a Legion game.
Yeah.
So there's some flexibility there. But I agree, there's probably one of those needs to go. There's probably too much confirmation in those. Maybe Cannibal needs to go, and that sorts a bit of it as well.
I think Cannibal definitely needs to go.
Yeah.
Certainly, if all this confirmation is staying, Cannibal needs to.
Yeah. Cannibal's got to go.
But I wonder if like we have one too many even without Cannibal.
Yeah, maybe Night Watchman should go instead, or maybe Slayer can go. I kind of like Slayer. I kind of like to keep Slayer, so I think probably Night Watchman can go for something else. Maybe another once per game. Fisherman was a consideration here, just to give another little source of information. Something like that might be good. Let's see, what could we put here? What is that Night Watchman doing? It's really just a confirmation piece, right? It's just like a one-piece confirmation role, so... Something that can get information on another player or help to resolve another player's information somehow, because the recluse can disrupt it so much. Oddly, Seamstress may be another good choice here.
Seamstress is frequently a fine choice.
Seamstress might just be the right choice to replace Night Watchman here.
Seamstress is one of those like nice little... utility roles that fits in a lot of places.
Yeah, it's not too strong. It's not so strong that it needs Vortox, but it's strong enough that it gets some confirmation if it does hit, you know, two goods. If it gets a no, it creates suspicion and makes a game interesting for town. So I think that's pretty helpful. I have all my recording set up, so I'm not going to go in and edit the JSON right now, but I'll go back and edit in a Seamstress as well. So apparently the lesson to learn here is just use Seamstress. But I also think, like, Summoner makes an interesting puzzle here as well.
Yeah. How do you think Investigator and Summoner play on a one minion setup?
Yeah, it is troublesome, like, because you are going to have to show the Summoner, so maybe don't put them both in the bag together in a one minion setup. You're, of course, not obligated to do it.
I guess you can use a recluse to distract from the Summoner.
You can use a recluse to distract from the Summoner. You can drunk the Investigator. I think there are other things you can do to try to make that space.
No, I was just curious.
Yeah, for sure. And then I think, you know, Marionette's also just a little bit of cheeky fun in my brain is that the recluse doesn't necessarily always know. And that Evil, who's sitting next to a recluse, could even attempt to bluff that the recluse is the Marionette.
Yeah, and I think with Legion and Recluse, you can probably get away with Investigator Marionette.
I think so. I think that's fine. There's enough there to make it disrupted. Yeah, normally I think it wouldn't be great, so. Yeah, I do think, you know, again, we threw these together in about an hour, but if you're taking and playtesting, you know, multiple runs through a script, you know, one thing to do is iterate one or two pieces at a time. Generally, you don't want to make huge wholesale kind of changes to a script all at once, because surely as you fix one thing, you're probably going to break something else. So shall we hop out into a couple of game states real quick, Emma?
Yeah.
Why don't you set them up? Because if I set them up, I'll have to cut the video a whole bunch.
Yeah. Just tell me what you want me to put in.
Yeah. Just let's start with a simple like imp, like a basic TB setup, like an imp, Scarlet Woman, Poisoner. We can put the recluse in, throw a saint in, and then just a handful of, you know, a couple Sartnowings, couple ongoings, one or two of the others. We'll just pretend that Night Watchman is a seamstress for now. Or Cannibal probably is the seamstress for now and might have to make some other adjustments later. Maybe it can have an oracle, I don't know. Yeah, so it's just a very straight... Oh, this is lovely. Oh, I wish there was a chef on this. But see, that's also something when you look at a Grim State, you can go, oh, is there a chef on my script? There is. Okay, that would take great advantage of this setup, right? So like,
yeah, so this is a setup that's nearly right out of TB. We have a pixie instead of a washerwoman and a banshee instead of a ravenkeeper, but everything else is very TB-ish.
Yeah, there's plenty
this
of...
probably works fine.
TB stuff here. The investigator's probably going to see the poisoner, maybe show them the recluse if we think some other... But the empath is quite far from kind of evils in general. Fortune teller's got lots of stuff to hit. Yeah, I think this is pretty fine. This is pretty fine.
What are we pixie confirming here?
I'm probably going to go empath here. I think that's fine to pixie confirm the empath. Because again, right, the pixie's going to know the empath's good, but the empath won't know. There's a poisoner who can hit them. The pixie's probably going to claim a 1. Pixie probably isn't going to claim a 0, so they're not necessarily confirming their neighbors. If they do confirm their neighbors, it might look suspicious later. So I think that's an okay confirm. I don't mind pixieing the fortune teller, although the fortune teller is already getting plenty of disrupted information here, so maybe isn't necessary. I'd pixie the slayer as well with a Scarlet Woman. It's fine.
Yeah. One thing, when we were talking about, sort of my initial thoughts about the Stormcloud Outsider, we were talking about the importance of not confirming them. But the nice thing about the Recluse is nothing ever really confirms the Recluse.
Yeah, it's essentially...
Except for maybe the Librarian, but...
I mean, it's a choice you can make too, right? And a drunk librarian can see the imp as the recluse on a Stormcloud recluse script, and again, it's fine, you know?
So I think just, so like, without the recluse as your Stormcloud outsider, I think you'd want to avoid things like empaths and fortune tellers and the like, but I think with the recluse, whatever.
Yeah, it's your main character. Use the things that interact with it. You know, take the things that interact with it on his base script, take the things that interact
empath-
with it.
And fortune teller can't ever really learn that the recluse is good. I mean, they can, but they don't have to. So it's nice like that.
And you can even do the fun thing of disrupting them by, if they're poisoned or drunk or whatever, you know, hit them with the recluse being good, and they might suspect it later.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously with a TB-like setup, this is going to be fine.
Yeah, let's try something a little more complicated. Maybe a single minion setup. Or maybe let's do another 2 minion setup. And let's try to include Summoner. Because I do think Summoner's going to make it a little tricky as well.
We'll do 11 characters just to make it different.
Sure, that sounds good. So yeah.
So wanted a Summoner.
Yeah, let's throw a Summoner on. We could do Summoner Baron. Throw in all the Outsiders.
Well, not all of them, because we went down to 11.
Down to 11. So throw in 3 Outsiders. And then a couple of just some different townsfolk, just kind of mix up the townsfolk a little bit. I'm not too particular about what we see.
Remember, chat, Night Watchman is the seamstress.
Yeah, the Night Watchman is the seamstress here. So we've got a Baron and a Summoner. The village idiot might check their neighbors, but look, we've got the recluse right there being Stormcaught, doing some good work of making the village idiot's neighbors look evil, so that's fine. Got 1 drunk village idiot, 2 sobers. Got lots of great options for the Summoner here. If the village idiot gets seen as evil, or if the recluse comes out, gets seen as evil early, the Summoner can summon into the recluse, right? Because it makes the recluse look... you know, look pretty good. Maybe a little concerned about the golem killing the summoner. You know, I've kind of dropped a little bit of my fear of summoners dying in, like, day 1 or day 2. Like, it's just part of the game, and it can
just
happen.
Just part of the game.
Yeah. It can happen to
any demon.
I don't
mind golem summoner.
Yeah, like, I don't mind golem summoner at all.
My bigger concerns remain summoners getting drunk day 1 or day 2. Most of those have been or will be jinxed out of existence. I think the only real way left is Minstrel, which...
Minstrel is never going on one of my scripts, so...
Use the Minstrel at your own risk. But yeah, so... who do you think the Pixie is going to see here?
That's a trickier one, because I don't really want to show a village idiot. I might show the seamstress, but seamstresses are usually willing to die.
I had tentatively marked the seamstress as the drunk.
I did just see that. Slayer's probably fine here. If the Slayer shoots early, getting the Pixie Slayer shot later in the game seems more fair to the evil team, although that's three different death effects, so maybe that's a little bit too much. I wouldn't mind showing a village idiot, but I don't like Pixie village idiot that much here with two sober village idiots, so I think that's probably out. So we might be giving Banshee. We might just be showing the Pixie the Banshee.
Yeah, maybe Pixie isn't as right for the script as I first thought, but that's sometimes just something you pick up from sort of grim setups.
With Baron, sometimes your Pixie choices can be limited, right? Because it's put so many outsiders into the game. So maybe that's an issue, and I need to find something else for Pixie. Well, that's okay.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe it's just like I should have balanced the bag better for a Pixie.
Yeah.
All right, let's go look at a one minion setup. What do you want for your one minion setup?
Let's do just a Mario and an Imp. Let's do a Mario and an Oho.
All right.
Hopefully, and let's leave the Recluse in. We haven't taken the Recluse out yet. We'll do that on the big setup. We'll take the Recluse out. But I want to leave the Recluse in with Mario for a second, just to point something out that's important.
We'll do a drunk. Alright, so there we go. We have four choices for our marionette. We have the chef, the empath, the village idiot, or the monk.
So, let's talk about marionette picks and the recluse. Because I think a lot of folks really like the idea of taking the marionette and putting it next to the recluse so it's a little bit more hidden away from the evil team. Or from like other evils, like if it gets detected somehow. It could cause a problem. This Grim is probably a really good demonstration of both a reason to do that and a reason not to do that. And Emma has very helpfully put an investigator here on the Grim for us. We are going to need to place a drunk somewhere as well, I think, on this.
Yep, that's correct. So we're going to need to put a drunk and a marionette.
So the drunk is going to be relative to where we're going to put the marionette, I think, on this one. If we're going to put the marionette next to the demon, we're probably going to drunk the investigator. And show.
We can ping the investigator off the recluse.
We could. But I would be more likely to drunk the investigator and show the empath and the chef as the marionette potentially. That lets the chef information point at the empath. There's like stuff that can happen there. The recluse can make the empath, the recluse registering can make the empath look like, or make the investigator look like the evil in the empath ping. There's a whole bunch of things that can happen that way. In addition, with only one minion and the demon having to convince that minion that they're the marionette,
why do they have to do that? They don't have to do that.
Maybe not, but if the demon wants to convince the marionette that they are the marionette at some point in the game, the demon having that player right next to them facilitates communication much more effectively than them being all the way across on the other side of the grim. In a live game, you could just lean over and whisper. In an online game, you can use the neighbor whisper function to communicate that. But here's the best part of this grim with the Oho. It's one of both my and Emma's favorite things to do. The Oho can pick the drunk, and the Oho can pick the marionette and kill them off themselves if they want to. Or the Oho can leave them and kill off everything else. But the chef information combined with the investigator pings, right, that's going to have players on the left side of the grim infighting with relation to the recluse while the demon is hiding, you know, basically sitting pretty comfortably on the other side of the grip.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've basically framed the recluse as the imp, and that works just fine. And it's made them the central focal character of this whole game, because there's going to be a marionette next to them, all this other stuff. And Town's going to have to unpick that, right? Town's going to go, okay, why is there a marionette there, and who's the demon, right? Now we've got the monk as the red herring at the top of the grim, and they're going to look at that chef. Maybe that chef is the marionette. It could point to seat two as the marionette, but if seat two's the marionette, they're not the demon, and that's fine too. Or no, seat two can't be the marionette, right? Seat two has to be good. So yeah, so seat one could be the demon, and seat nine could be the marionette. The marionette could be based on a recluse. The recluse could be evil. There's a lot going there. So
I agree. I think this is a fine setup.
Yeah, let's go to 15 and leave the recluse out.
All right, we'll go to 15 and leave the recluse out. Let's clear it. Oh, no. That's
the and maybe why don't we use the demon we haven't used yet, Emma?
Okay, we can use the demon we haven't used yet. How many legion did you want, Milk?
Well, it's a 15-player game, so normally there would be 4 evils and 11 goods. So let's go ahead and put 4 goods and 11 evils.
Okay, so you're going to have 11 evils here?
I think I'll have 11 evils here. Yeah.
And what townsfolk should we have for our 4 goodies?
So I think crucially, we're going to need to think about how we can balance these townsfolk so that they get plenty of good information. One thing we can do is put in 2 village idiots, but I think village idiot is better left for the legions to play with. So I'm probably going to put an empath. A monk. I might put a slayer in this, but let's sit on that for a second. Probably I will put in a... Probably I'll put in a librarian. Maybe a pixie. I think a pixie would be good. Oh, and we can have an investigator.
Okay.
Let's show the pixie the investigator. I think that's kind of interesting. And now the investigator can see legions as minions.
Yeah, twice.
Twice. And we aren't going to put it, we aren't going to tell the legions that there's a recluse in play. So ideally one of them will bluff it. The empath's going to get good information on these 2 legions, but then they're going to get false information, or then they're going to get a 1 on the pixie and the player in seat 5. This could be rough for Legion, but Legion has a lot of players, so.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is probably fine. This looks okay to me.
Yeah. It's probably fine.
I don't see any trouble. Maybe we should have added one more townsfolk.
Yeah. No, I don't think you want one more townsfolk.
Or an outsider.
Legion's going to need to rely on the argument that the empath is being intermittently poisoned or drunk, I think. Mm-hmm. But Legion is always going to have to rely on stuff like this. The empath is going to get searingly good information.
Yeah.
Or lose good the game. Those are like the only 2 things the empath is going to do.
And I mean, the thing is, that just could be an evil that's bluffing, right? And in Legion, in the Legion games, you should be bluffing crazy stuff too sometimes, like to make that, you know, a Baron in a non-Legion game should potentially be bluffing an empath with a 2. Like there's other things. You have to look at the script, you know, so. I think this is okay. The monk is maybe a little bit sad. Maybe we could have given them a chef or something else, but...
The monk is fine, I think. Like, the monk basically picks a player who the storyteller can't kill each night, which is fine. Like, it's completely reasonable.
Yeah, I think it's fine. These setups look fine to me. Maybe, you know, so Night Watchman has to go out for Seamstress, and maybe Cannibal needs to be revisited. I still think Pixie's okay.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with it here.
I think... We just happened to do a setup that was really not great for Pixie, which was probably just a bag building issue.
Yeah, and maybe we just don't throw the Pixie in that Grim in the future.
Yeah.
Why don't we hop into the potion shop and finish up?
Yep.
All right, everybody.
I hope you enjoyed the sort of thought process on script building in line with our script building competition, which you still have time to join the Discord server and enter. That's right. This is, of course, Friday. Which means our script competition is going to end in 2 days on Sunday.
So but you still have time.
You still have time. we wrote these scripts in under 2 hours, and I think they're both pretty functional.
Yeah, I think they're functional.
We don't know if they're contest winners, because they're not being entered into the contest as we're judges. But 2 days is more than enough time for you to get yours in there.
That's right. Don't just copy ours. Don't just copy ours. We'll know.
Yeah, if you submit either Lantern or what was mine called? Something...
What the heck
was All the Ruddy Splendor.
That's right, All the Ruddy Splendor. We will know. We will recognize our own work.
We will recognize our own work, yes. But so you can't submit ours, but you can write your own. Join the Discord, discord.gg/grimscenarios. Enter your contest entry by midnight Eastern American time on the transition from Sunday to Monday. Yeah.
Good luck to everybody who enters the competition, and by good luck, I mean good hunting.
What? I don't know. May your scenarios stay grim.